When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, welcome to this edition of Keep Watch Pass on the It's Not That Bad podcast channel, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Every now and then a topic comes up and it really makes me think about what movies could fall into that category. And I was really pleasantly surprised with this one and also very terrified because I know what my watch film is going to be. Sorry, I know what my pass film is going to be. My watch film is usually okay, but my pass film still traumatizes me to this day. Not going to tell you yet. You got to wait. But joining me for the first time on Keep Watch Pass, Lyle Robichaud is back. Lyle, welcome to the show. How are you doing, man?
Doing great, Jason. Always happy to come on and lend my voice to one of these crazy topics. And I have to touch all the bases. I have to be on all your shows.
Right? Also, have you recovered from the last grading on a curve yet?
I have. I'm still... There's some things that you've done to me that I haven't recovered from. And the Dungeon Siege movie. I'm going to bring that up every time I talk to you just because it still hurts me. But I'm recovered from the grading on a curve, I think.
Is it bad I didn't hate that one?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Just goes to show the taste of films I have, which would also explain the podcast in general. But what are we talking about today, Lyle? Because this was your idea. So I'm going to let you introduce what it is we're talking about.
So one of the topics I decided to go with, which is one of my favorite kind of subgenres of movies, I'm a big practical effects guy, not a big fan of CGI. I would rather something be done on the smaller scale if you can do it with tangible materials that I can see in front of me, which means that I also love prosthetics. I love it when an actor has to go through some crazy process to look like somebody or to completely transform into a monster or a creature or something like that. A really good modern example I'll use was Colin Farrell in The Batman. Turned himself into Penguin to the point where when he showed up on set, he almost got kicked off because they thought he was a homeless guy that snuck on. I love that kind of stuff. It's real life magic. So I picked heavy prosthetics as this first topic.
See, I'm just going to dress really shabbily and put on a few extra pounds, just walk around going, "Hey, I'm Colin Farrell. What are you going to do?" And see how many places I can get into it and then how fast I get thrown out when I try to pay for a drink. Yeah. So when it comes to prosthetics, when you were picking your films, what specifically were you looking for?
It's weird because you'll see once we get into it, my three are very similar, but also different in certain ways, because prosthetics is a pretty big overarching term. Like, you can go as far down the rabbit hole as The Fly, or you could stay as easy as something like everybody's got elf ears on, like in Lord of the Rings. I usually went with a really centerpiece actor that takes on most of the prosthetics just for that one person. And that is what I really like to see, because somebody that can do a very good performance whilst also being under X amount of pounds of crazy crap for makeup, it just makes the movie all much better to me.
Oh yeah. I mean, anytime I think about makeup in film and television, the first quote that comes to mind is from Michael Westmore, and who did a lot of the makeup work for Star Trek: The Next Generation, who had said that as long as you can see the eyes of the character, then you can see the soul of the character. And I'm probably paraphrasing. I probably messed that up because it's been a bit since that quote came out, but you get the idea. So, Lyle, I'm going to let you start off because it's your first time here and because I always let the guests start off. But what is your Keep Heavy Prosthetics movie pick?
See, this won't be a surprise for anybody who's listened to any of the other podcasts I've done with you, because my keep, and it's going to be controversial, but I don't care, it's Dr. Seuss How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the live-action Jim Carrey one. Not just because of Jim Carrey, who had to undergo marine torture training to undergo like the 5-hour makeup process he had to do to become the Grinch. All of those hairs are individually placed on that costume almost every day for filming. It was also the fact that every other actor in that movie had to wear some kind of prosthetics, right down to the costumes. A lot of the Who's had gigantic hats that had really complicated designs on them, and they actually had to be built in to the costume to help them be able to move their head normally, even though there's all this weight up here, the noses, the ears, everybody has like a distinct face with the same kind of elf-like features kind of thing. It was really well done. And then of course, Jim Carrey being able to do so much when you know the actor is so uncomfortable is very, very impressive to see, and to still maintain the hilarious stuff that he can do.
I mean, when you think about Jim Carrey, I mean, he is a special effect unto himself with the things that he can do with his face. I mean, there's a reason why The Mask works so well, because it's Jim freaking Carrey, not Son of the Mask. We're not going back down that road again.
We touched it once. We're leaving it where it is. Leaving right.
But the thing is, when you take a book, like a Dr. Seuss book, and you're like, yeah, I'm going to turn that into a live action film. Like, if you had done this in like the 70s, there's no way in hell you're pulling off any of this. And the production value that went into this film. I mean, if we ever do an episode on set design in films.
Oh, it's incredible.
This is going to be right up there as well. Absolutely.
I think it's insane that Universal Studios doesn't have a Whoville based off what they did with this movie, because I completely agree. And that adds to why this is my keep, because the effects are just as much on par with the prosthetics. Everything is way up here. Yeah, it's kind of a crazy thing and how far they went for a Dr. Seuss movie, but it was just done so well. For all intents and purposes, it is a functioning Whoville.
I mean, you have to think that somewhere down the road, someone's going to get the idea of basically doing an It's a Small World-esque kind of ride through Whoville with a very Christmas theme. And I'm just printing someone money right now. So go ahead. Just take the idea.
I would 100% buy the Fast Pass to get on the Grinch Dark Ride. I would definitely do that. That's right? A great idea.
And then you get the Grinch, you know, roller coaster where it's almost like you're riding the mountain of presents down the hill. Like, honestly, make this happen.
Come on, guys.
There's got to be some Christmas themed theme park that's got to have that somewhere.
Other than the roadside Santa Claus lands you see across the highways all over the country, I don't know if there is a holiday theme park.
As long as it's not the holiday theme park in Alex Garland's new Civil War film, it didn't end well there. I'm just going to let you guys go see it. It's a very stark movie, but go see it. It's definitely...
I think it's great. I thought it was great.
Oh, I loved it too. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was really well done. But I'm not going to spoil anything. And we can't really talk about that on It's Not That Bad, because it ain't.
It's good.
It's good, right?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
My keep film, and I, you guys know me, geek all the way through, comic book movie fan all the way through, and a lot of them use a ton of CGI. And then there's Hellboy.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
Now, I'm not talking about the remake of Hellboy. I'm talking about the OG Ron Perlman Hellboy. Everyone who's in some kind of, you know, makeup, prosthetics, whatever, in that film, spot on. Like, hey, Ron Perlman is pitch perfect for Hellboy, just in his mannerisms, his tonality, his voice, even the way he carries himself, his own size, his actual size is perfect for Hellboy. Then you get that makeup on, you get the big fist going, like, it's brilliant. It may be one of the most underrated, perfect comic book movies of all time. And that's putting even up against some of the stuff from the MCU. I mean, when you think about what they were able to do with Iron Man and Thor, that's all well and good. We're talking freaking Hellboy, a comic that not a lot of people knew about at the time. I'll be honest, like when it came out, I'm like, what the hell is this comic book? Okay, I'll go see the movie. It looks kind of cool. So much fun, good action, again, pitch perfect casting. Like, this should be the template for how fantastical comic book movies should be done. Forget the CGI, forget. I'm okay with that new way of they're doing set pieces where they're kind of in like that massive circular psych studio and the background is on there. So you still at least get the light reflection on people and it looks a bit more realistic. But get the makeup back in and stop having someone in a mocap suit with a little picture up on their head of what the character actually looks like. Honestly, look at behind the scenes of like Infinity War or even in Ultron or Age of Ultron. Mocap suit with a picture of where the head should be. No. Ron freaking Perlman and Hellboy, you do that more.
Yeah, 100% agree. All fronts, 100% agree. Like I said, I would rather see them go smaller scale, less big set pieces, if you can give me something that the actor is acting off of the things in the room. They're not on a complete green screen. Like I always think of Andy Serkis in the Planet of the Apes movies. That's what I always think of when I think of bad, not bad because those movies are good, but like that whole process to me, it takes me out of it because I know when I'm watching it, the guy's not there. That's not the real person. I would rather see somebody in a suit, even if I can see the seams a little bit, who cares? I would rather that than it be completely fabricated. And Hellboy is a great pick. Like Dark Horse Comics, probably their Kingpin franchise, I would say. They came out with a lot of quality after Hellboy, but Hellboy is definitely the one that's carried the banner for that. I would call it like the B-rate comic company. Outside of the big three, it's Image, Dark Horse, stuff like that. That's where these stories are. If you want some really good fantastical comics, you got to go to like the creator-owned stuff.
Oh, yeah. Image, Dark Horse, and IDW. Those are kind of like the three secondary tent poles of comic book making. And that's the thing, too. Like, not every comic book film has to be DC or Marvel. You know, you think about some of the other ones, like Scott Pilgrim, The Crow. Like
Walking Dead.
Exactly, right? Sandman. Yes, I recognize it was a DC print, like from Vertigo.
It was Dark Horse first. Exactly. It was Vertigo first, and Vertigo was not always owned by DC.
Right, but the thing is, there are good stories that are adjacent to the bigger comic books. And of course, now, Transformers, which was, of course, a Marvel comic book property, then it was IDW, and now it's with Image Comics, and Image is making sure that that Transformers G.I. Joe crossover is going to happen. So, that's just print money.
The IDW had put out a lot of really good licensed comic books for a while. For a while, that was their whole thing. They had a few licensed comic books that were really, really quality good. I read the G.I. Joe one they made for some time, and it was very good.
I mean, I will be the first to tell anyone that I'm a massive fan of Rom the Space Knight. I remember when that comic book was part of the Marvel lineup, too, to the fact that I actually have the Marvel Rom omnibus that came out recently, and Volume 2 is on its way when it gets published. So, huge, huge Rom stan. And they were talking about actually having like the Hasbro Versa films with Transformers and G.I. Joe and Micronauts and Mask and Rom all in one kind of cinematic universe when everyone still thought that they could pull off a cinematic universe. I'm like, how are you going to pull off Rom? I need to see this. Please make it happen.
I don't care about the rest of them. I'd like to see live action Mask. That'd be funny.
That would be cool. But you also have to have that theme song then.
Mask.
The Mobile Armored Strike Command.
All things made to sell toys.
Which, for the record, if you are an 80s cartoon kid and you've watched Mask, go to Tubi. The episodes are there. You're welcome.
It's free.
It's free. So you can watch commercials. It's okay. All right. My watch film, and this is a film that we had covered on It's Not That Bad. And when I watched it, it was a very first watch for me, which kind of surprised me that it was a first watch, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm going with Legend.
Oh, wow.
Now, obviously, it's not necessarily for Tom Cruise that this is, but when you have Tim Curry as Darkness, and you talked about what Jim Carrey went through to get into the makeup and the look for the Grinch, Tim Curry with those horns, like his back was apparently killing him through the entire freaking filming process of this. But, I mean, this film, it's such a fantastical, epic story. And I will say, I prefer the version without the Tangerine Dream soundtrack. I prefer the more orchestral director's cut version. It's a phenomenal film. I would go so far as to say that it surprised me and may be one of my favorite 80s Tom Cruise films. And I say that because it's a very almost innocent performance. It's definitely not Hollywood Tom Cruise that's in this.
It's very different from the Tom Cruise you're used to seeing, the Edge of Tomorrow Tom Cruise.
Yeah, like, no, this is almost like Stratford Festival era Tom Cruise kind of thing. Like, not that I think he ever performed at the Stratford Festival, but you could see him in this performance on the stage at a small fringe festival performance, and it wouldn't throw you off at all. I think everyone in this film was fantastic, but Tim Curry is Darkness, like,
it carries it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Tim Curry's a gem to begin with, but I mean, it's such an iconic look too. I mean, there were a lot of fantasy movies that came out around that time. First one that comes to mind, of course, is Crawl, because I freaking loved Crawl as a kid. Then I went back and watched it as an adult. I'm like, I was a stupid kid, but it still kind of held up a little bit. This film and that look, you could use that makeup and that look today, and people would still fawn over how well it was.
That's true. No, if it came out today, it's one of those rare movies that would probably still get the praise, maybe even more praise now, because it's not the first Tom Cruise movie you think of when you look back at his like catalog. I do think that would fall into the underrated category.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Like, I was very, very surprised and happy to see this film. Plus, you also have a young performance from Mia Sara as well. Like, and she was fantastic in it. Like, if you haven't seen Legend and you like fantasy, watch the film. You're doing yourself a favor. All right, Lal, back over to you. Your watch film.
So I went a completely different direction. I went with something real heavy and something that just came out not long ago. And I think that this movie is a masterpiece. It's one of those ones you can only really watch once because it is so incredibly sad. It's The Whale of Brendan Fraser. Holy crap. That movie is, talk about somebody who managed to connect with people in a performance while also wearing a 200-pound suit, that he would do interviews after to say that when he took it off to go home at the end of the day, he almost felt like he just got off a ship because he felt so unstable without the extra weight. He completely transformed himself. And as a person who a lot of people in my family have passed away due to complications of being big people, I'm a big person. It's a deep, deep movie, and wow, it breaks you down at certain points. He is just an incredible actor. Most of it is just him by himself. Like, it's the kid is good as well, but it really is a character piece, and it's so good. Everybody should watch that movie once.
When you think about this, and yes, the makeup is spot on. The prosthetics are spot on. Like, he looks like he should have a TLC special. I fully agree.
You would never know. You would never know that that's not the actual person sitting there.
But the level of Brendan Fraser's acting, you know, and I'm not saying he wasn't a good actor before, right? But when you think about Brendan Fraser back in those days, of course, you're going to immediately think about The Mummy. Or if you're broken like me, you might think of Encino Man. Or smaller bit parts in like Kids in the Hall, Brain Candy.
Looney Tunes back in action.
Right. Or George of the Jungle, right? There are so many films that you might initially think of. And now all of a sudden, here he comes out with this powerful, vulnerable performance. And he deserved that Oscar. He absolutely deserved that Oscar. There was no one else winning it that year. I don't care who they put up against him. That performance, it's brave, like to sit there and say, all right, and this is someone who also had struggled with weight on his own as well because of complications due to injuries and whatnot throughout his career. Like Brendan Fraser found something deep inside to channel into this performance, and it made that film so memorable and so powerful. Like, kudos to him for that.
I would call that an actor's magnum opus, a movie like that. Whatever he does from now on, it's like Uncut Gems for Adam Sandler. It's not nearly the same level of good, but it is kind of that same thing where here's an actor that's known for this kind of subgenre of things, but he did this one thing that stretched the legs and proved that no, if you give him the right team, it can be something magical. As soon as this was announced, I knew it was going to be amazing. Cause I'm like the struggle, like you said, the struggles he'd gone through with his weight. He was on the comeback swing still at that point. Now I would say that he's completely back, but it was just the story of the movie being made and his personal journey with it. I love that movie so very much, but I could never watch it as much as I do some of my other favorite movies.
Yeah. That's one of those films where you watch it, you appreciate it. And it's probably not one that you're going to go back to on a regular basis because, you know, it can be a bit of a harder film to watch. You know, it's funny. We were just talking about Civil War. You know, I thought it was great. I don't know if you can go back and watch that a second time because it hits hard. And
yes,
there are some people who probably look at The Whale and think the very same thing. Happy that you had that moment to watch the film. Not right. You have to be in the right mindset. You have to be ready for a film like that.
Yes. Yep. You got to brace for impact for sure. It's not a put on a Saturday night when you're looking for something to do a movie. You got to plan that.
All right, Lyle. It's time for your pass film. What fits the bill?
My pass film is Tusk. That is my pass film. I watched it because I knew what was going to happen. I was told by a friend, you have to see this. It ends with a person being sewn into a Frankenwalrus. It's ridiculous. You have to watch it. And the whole movie was just a plot hole filled mess. The prosthetics weren't good. You could literally just see the circle for his face kind of at some points. It was a lot of just making noise while an old man strokes a giant. The only way I can describe it is like a scrotum looking creature in the water. Like it just, it's awful. I wasted 2 hours of my life on it. I'll never go back.
I'm not one to sit there and hope that people stay pigeonholed. I fully appreciate when artists want to kind of branch out, spread their wings, try different things. Dear Kevin Smith, this was not it.
It wasn't. And I love Kevin Smith. I like the Fat Man on Batman podcast. I like a bunch of stuff that he does. He's funny. I don't know what happened here. What went wrong? Who hurt you?
Right.
Like what was the table read for this, and how did several people sign off on it?
I mean, Red State was well received. Red State was definitely out of his wheelhouse and in a different direction. And you know, he tried something and it worked. Tusk, not so much. I mean, I even didn't mind Yoga Hosers. But yeah. Tusk
was it's terrible. It's a B movie that doesn't know it's a B, a horror, like a bad horror B movie. It doesn't know what that it is.
Exactly.
It takes itself so seriously.
It's not good enough to be good, and it's not bad enough to be good either.
When the ending of your movie is the wife and the brother leaving you in a zoo to chew on a fish and cry, like I was laughing for the wrong reasons the entire time. I've never laughed that hard at a movie, not with it.
You know, somewhere down the road, this film is going to get the Mystery Science Theater 3000 treatment, and I will line up for that.
Yes. Yes, this is it. That's one good thing, is at least this feeds into a lot of content creators that tear this kind of stuff apart. Like that is a feeding frenzy for that.
I'm not going to lie. If someone ever pitches Tusk as an episode of It's Not That Bad, I mean, I'll do it, but
yeah, I won't subject you to that. I would never,
but I'm not going to like it.
No, that was one of the very few times where it's happened with Dungeon Siege as well. When I turned off the movie and I was actually like, wow, I'm actually a little upset I wasted this much time on this. Like,
all right. I want to give a public service announcement to our listeners. So, dear listeners, if you go to a house party, please make sure that the person picking the movie to be shown at the house party has good taste in film and doesn't try to pick something that's kind of out there, kind of cool, kind of maybe. That happened to me once. Went to a house party. People were chilling in the basement. There's this movie on. It's the first time that I remember getting up and walking out and going, what the fuck am I watching? It's actually making me sick. It's called Tetsuo the Iron Man. This is a Japanese art house film. And the entire thing is done in black and white. There's lots of stop motion in this. And it's basically a guy who is turning into a machine little by little, and there's so much stop motion live action stuff in this, and of course It's Japanese. It's black and white. They went there with a lot of stuff. So there's a lot of fluids being tossed around and iron bars sticking out of legs. And I'm just like, what the hell am I watching here? And to this day, I have not watched the full thing. I refuse to watch the full thing because I've tried. I'm like, maybe it wasn't that bad. And then you start watching and it's like, no, teenage me was spot on. Teenage me knew what was what. This is one of those films where just because it's an art house film doesn't mean it's good.
Yeah. I know what you mean. It's one of those art galleries where you can see the guy skipping around in the back. Ask me what it means. Ask me what it means. Like,
yeah, it's so manic and so out there. And it's not even like you have to sit there and like, I don't mind a subtitled film. I don't. Godzilla Minus One was brilliant. Freaking awesome. I don't mind subtitled films. I was just like, I started to focus on the subtitles so I didn't have to see what was going on in the actual, the rest of the screen. Right,
it was a distraction tool more than it was an accessibility tool.
Right, you can almost like put your hand covering most of your eyes, so all you see is the bottom of the screen, so you can read it. I'm like, no, I'd rather read the book. That's pretty much what it boils down to. My hard pass on that one. All right, Lyle, thank you so much for this. Now, please remind our listeners what your keep, watch, and pass picks are.
So my keep is Dr. Seuss, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. My watch is The Whale, and my pass is Tusk. Please, if you listen to anything I say, pass on Tusk.
And my keep is Hellboy, my watch is Legend, and my pass forever is Tetsuo the Iron Man. Lyle, thank you so much. Now, please, remind our listeners where they can hear you, hear your work, and where they can find you out there on the interwebs.
You can find me at 640 Toronto AM. I am on Let's Talk with Danny Stover, content producer Lyle. You'll hear my mini features going every night.
All right. Thank you so much, man. And remember, seats open whenever you want to show up. And to you, our listeners, you guys know the drill. If there is a topic that you want us to cover on Keep Watch Pass or a movie you want us to cover on It's Not That Bad, make sure you hit us up on social media at Not That Badcast or go to our website at notthatbadcast.com. And while you're there, make sure you check out our coming soon page so you can see all the episodes that we're working on and get your comments in. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, he's Lyle. I'm Jay. You guys are awesome. This is Keep Watch Pass on the It's Not That Bad podcast channel, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. Take care.